The Christian world is presently in the grip of a signs and wonders craze. Increasingly, millions of Christians are looking for manifestations of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues, physical healing, and prophecy. And bookshops carry dozens of books on the subject. Thousands flock to healing services all over the world. And you may have seen them on television, people standing in line and the preacher touches them on the head and they fall over, and behind them stand the catchers who lay them out on the ground like fence poles. The Toronto Blessing. Those who are caught up in the Toronto Blessing phenomenon may dance like whirling dervishes, howl like wolves, bray like donkeys, or laugh hysterically until they fall to the ground exhausted. Others talk in a gibberish which neither they nor anyone else understands. And all of this is attributed to the working of the Holy Spirit. And what has happened in Toronto has caught on around the world. On January 20, 1994, the Vineyard Church in Toronto, as it was called then, was zapped, as they say, by the Holy Spirit. Today, thousands of churches around the world have been engulfed in this spreading fire. During the first 2 years after January 20, 1994, about 700,000 people from many countries and many denominations visited the Toronto Airport Church to see what is happening and to experience it themselves. Reports of renewal as a result of this phenomenon come from all parts of the globe, from India, Korea, Zimbabwe, Switzerland, Indonesia, and many other countries. Because of these animal noises which they are making, the church was expelled from the Vineyard movement in 1996, and since then they call themselves the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. When we had the general conference in Toronto, I and a friend of mine visited the Toronto Airport Church and sat in there during a service one evening. If you go to their website today, this is the pastor and his wife of the Toronto Airport Church, you will find that they have about 8 services each week. And thousands of people experience the Toronto Blessing there each week. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:24 of false Christs and prophets, and Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." And Ellen White predicted, "Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times." Now this, brethren and sisters, is something to look forward to. In our church, she says, a revival of primitive godliness. However, she also says, the enemy of souls desires to hinder this work. And before the time for such a movement shall come, he will endeavor to prevent it by introducing a counterfeit. In those churches which he can bring under his deceptive power, he will make it appear that God's special blessing is put out. There will be manifest what is thought to be great religious interest. Multitudes will exult that God is working marvelously for them, when the work is that of another spirit. Under a religious guise, Satan will seek to extend his influence over the Christian world. It is a fact that today people are looking for an experience. They are not so much interested in teaching. They're not so much interested in the theory. They're not so much interested in the doctrines. What they're looking for is an experience, a manifestation of the presence of God in their lives. And if it is presented by well-known preachers and packaged in the right way, anything is acceptable to them. We will now look at three phenomena taking place in the Christian world today: tongues, healing, and prophecy. First, speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we have the report: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the context clearly indicates that these tongues were languages. In verses 5 and 6, and were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So there's no question that at Pentecost, what happened was that the apostles received a supernatural gift of speaking in foreign languages. Tongue speakers today do not speak a language, but it is a gibberish which they call heavenly language. The gift of tongues today is viewed as a holy mystical ability that somehow operates in a person's spirit but bypasses the mind. There's a couple, Charles and Francis Hunter. They hold seminars attended by thousands of people where they teach people how to receive the gift of tongues. So you can learn it. You can learn to speak in this heavenly language, in this tongue. Charles Hunter tells the people, when you pray with your spirit, you do not think of the sounds of the language. Just trust God, but make the sounds when I tell you. In just a moment, when I tell you to, begin loving and praising God by speaking forth a lot of different syllable sounds. At first, make the sounds rapidly so you won't try to think as you do in speaking your natural language. Make the sounds loudly at first so you can easily hear what you are saying. He continually reminds his audience that they are not supposed to think when they speak in tongues. The reason some of you don't speak fluently, he says, is that you try to think of the sound. So when you pray and you start speaking in your heavenly language, don't try to think. You don't have to think in order to pray in the Spirit. This switch, this desire to switch off the mind and disconnect from all that is rational, is one of the primary characteristics of pagan mystery religions. Yet, about 20% of Christians belong today to some Pentecostal or charismatic church. And if one counts only committed Christians, the percentage is even higher. In spite of all the manifestations of ecstatic speech today, nowhere does the Bible teach that the gift of tongues is anything other than human languages. Modern tongue speaking, called glossolalia, is not the same as the biblical gift of languages. Ellen White calls the modern tongue speaking gibberish. She says, some of these persons have exercises which they call gifts and say that the Lord has placed them in the church. They have an unmeaning gibberish which they call the unknown tongue, which is unknown not only by men but by the Lord and all heaven. Such gifts are manufactured by men and women aided by the great deceiver. Fanaticism, false excitement, false talking in tongues, and noisy exercises have been considered gifts which God has placed in the church. Some have been deceived here. The fruits of all this have not been good. Unfortunately, even within our church, we have people who claim that we need this gift and who speak in tongues themselves. Gift of healing. If we look at the record in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, Jesus said to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now we know that during his 3.5 years of ministry here on earth, Jesus healed many sick people. Today, every week, over 500 million television viewers watch television preachers, and many of them are faith healers. Two of them are probably well known to you. Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn are two well-known TV preachers. Both of them are prominent representatives of what is called the faith movement, which teaches that the human mind and the tongue contain supernatural powers. And they go back to Psalm 33, verse 9, where it says, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Now, of course, the text speaks about God, but they take this text and apply it now to human beings. Taking this principle, the faith movement teaches that when a person speaks, expressing his faith in divine laws, his positive thoughts and positive verbal expressions allegedly produce a divine force that will heal, produce wealth, and bring success. Most of these so-called healings cannot be verified. Some years ago, there was a medical doctor who tested the claims of these faith healers by going after the people who were healed, or supposedly healed. He wrote a book called Healing in Search, A Doctor in Search of a Miracle. And on page 259, Dr. Nolan says, "Search the literature as I have, and you will find no documented cures by healers of gallstone, heart disease, cancer, or any other serious organic disease. Certainly, you will find patients temporarily relieved of their upset stomachs, their chest pains, their breathing problems, and you will find healers and believers who will interpret this interruption of symptoms as evidence that the disease is cured. But when you track the patient down and find out what happened later, you will always find the cure to have been purely symptomatic and transient. The underlying disease remains." Now, while this may be true in many cases, I do not dispute that genuine healing can take place. The question is, what power is behind that healing? Who is the one who heals? Ellen White predicted that wonderful scenes with which Satan will be closely connected will soon take place. God's word declares that Satan will work miracles. He will make people sick and then will suddenly remove from them his satanic power. They will then be regarded as healed. These works of apparent healing will bring Seventh-day Adventists to the test. That's an interesting statement. Why Adventists being brought to the test about this? Now, this of course does not mean that every healing must be from Satan, but we must be aware of counterfeit miracles. Miracles in response to prayer takes place every day. And if you read the Adventist Review or other church papers, you will hear of reports where people are being healed from time to time. And there are a number of Adventist and non-Adventist books containing reports of real healings. A few months ago, I attended a conference in Africa on magic. For the last 2 years, the Biblical Research Institute has been involved in a series of conferences in Africa on the issue of magic, because it's been a problem in the church that many church members who come into the church in Africa do not leave behind their past. And so when something happens in their life, they get sick and they pray to God, but nothing happens, then they go to the witch doctor, because that's what they were used to. So they go back to their original situation. And this has become a problem in our churches. And so the divisions in Africa have asked us to assemble a group of scholars to look into the problem. And this picture was taken just a few months ago when I was in Southern Africa, where we had this conference. And one of these gentlemen, you can see him sitting here, this gentleman here, told us a few of the miraculous healings that he has experienced with church members. And in the meantime, I've heard from others as well. So there are genuine healings going on, even within the Adventist church. And I have no doubt God can also work outside and will work outside the church. But we must be aware that Satan is also working. Just a few days, actually, the following report came across my desk. This comes from the Sudan, from the Darfur region. Now, you've heard about the Darfur region and the people who are dying there and the battle that is going on. And this comes from one of our pastors in that region. Pastor Kabi, that's the Adventist pastor, recounts how his church members in the Niala province had just settled into groups for their Sabbath school discussion when they noticed a group of 9 men approaching the church. They were dragging a boy in chains. Our church elder, Albino Garang, approached the boy's father, who told him that his only son, 25-year-old Santino, had been chained in prison for the last 6 months and was uncontrollable. All attempts to seek treatment for the boy had been unsuccessful. They had sought the help from doctors, magicians, and witches, but all in vain. Santino's father said, "I have heard that you Adventists believe in God. That is why I have organized this group to assist me in dragging him here for prayers so that he may be relieved from this possession." Pastor Kabi requested the entire church to fast and pray for Santino. We ordered the spirit to come out of Santino in the name of Jesus. We prayed throughout the night. Finally, the following day, on Sunday at 9 a.m., Santino was at peace and the demon was gone. The church members gave him food to eat and water to drink. And after eating, they asked him if he recognized his father and the delegation which accompanied him. He could remember and recalled their names one by one. Because of this miraculous healing, Santino and his best friend Joseph Ngor and some neighbors joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church by baptism on March 6, 2006. I do not doubt that God is working today through various means and various people in healing people, in delivering them from demons, particularly in Africa and in other countries where this is taking place. But at the same time, we must be aware that Satan is working hard and that there are counterfeit miracles as well. The third feature that concerns me in this modern signs and wonders movement is prophecy. In recent years, a number of modern prophets have appeared in certain charismatic churches. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in the gift of prophecy in the time of the end, but we also believe that everything should be tested by the Word of God. The Metro Vineyard Fellowship in Kansas City, a charismatic church, had a few years ago 3 modern prophets: John Paul Jackson, Bob Jones, and Paul Kane. In the meantime, they have moved on to other churches, different churches now. The prophecies and messages of these Kansas City prophets, as they were called, were frequently false and often foolish. Listen to this. John Paul Jackson said in one message that God blew up the space shuttle Challenger to teach America a lesson, given that there was a teacher on board. What the connection is there escapes me. But that's what he told the congregation. Bob Jones predicted that 1,000 religious leaders would be killed by God in 1990. Nothing happened, of course. But he also spoke of a new breed of humans, the elected seed created by God in 1973 to form a super church that would be 10 times greater than the church of the Book of Acts. Now, these prophets do not believe that they have the same authority and the same inspiration as the biblical prophets. And they admit that they have prophesied falsely. Nevertheless, the prophecies of these men, the prophecies they deliver, are received by thousands as revealed truths of God. Their church pastor actively encouraged his flock to embrace modern prophecies as God's means of revealing fresh truths to the church. If you go to the internet, you can click on Revival Ministries, also in Kansas. It has a website on which they advertise their prophet's nest, called a prophetic mentoring group, they say. And they say, we have mature prophets available to help. Isn't that good to know? Once upon a time, Seventh-day Adventists were seen as a cult because we have always said that we have a prophet in our church. Today, Pentecostal and charismatic churches have their own prophets. Evangelical theologians have worked out a whole theology to justify the existence of these modern prophets. One well-known evangelical theologian by the name of Wayne Grudem, he teaches at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He believes that Scripture is verbally inspired. In regard to the modern prophets, he says, prophecy today is merely human words reporting what God has brought to mind, while the prophecies that were written down in the Old Testament were men speaking God's words to report what God had brought to mind. So he says, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the prophets were verbally inspired. The modern prophets are only thought inspired. And because they're only thought inspired, they can get it mixed up, muddled up, and therefore some of their prophecies turn out to be false. Now, this distinction works for evangelicals because they believe in verbal inspiration of Scripture. However, Seventh-day Adventists do not believe in verbal inspiration. They believe in thought inspiration. And so for us, this distinction simply does not work. Nevertheless, there are some Adventists who are trying to put Ellen White into the same category as these modern prophets who quite openly admit that they are frequently wrong. Bob Jones said at one time, if I hit 2/3 of it, I'm doing pretty good. It's like batting at baseball. You know, if I hit 2/3, I'm doing pretty good. Now you can see why I'm not too enthusiastic about putting Ellen White into the same category as these prophets. What relevance does the charismatic movement with its signs and wonders have for the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Are we in any way affected by it? Unfortunately, we are not immune to what is happening in the Christian world at large. In recent years, a number of congregations in the United States have left the organized Seventh-day Adventist Church and become independent churches. In all cases, new worship styles and other charismatic influences were partly responsible for their separation. One pastor, for example, appointed a Pentecostal preacher to be the worship leader in his church. When the conference found out, they said, "You can't do that. You can't hire a Pentecostal preacher to be the worship leader, praise music and so on in an Adventist church." Well, he said, "If I can't do that, then we leave the Adventist church." And most of the church members went with him, and they founded their own independent church and left the organized Seventh-day Adventist church. And there are about 10 to 12 such cases I know of in recent years here in North America, where churches, either whole churches or a large part of a church, have left the organized work because they were not in agreement with what the conference was saying or doing. I remember in Germany a pastor was dismissed because he and a part of his congregation began speaking in tongues. That is, the modern speaking in tongues, the ecstatic speech, not modern languages. In the mid-90s, while I was working in the South Pacific Division, a congregation in New Zealand was dissolved and the pastor terminated because he and a number of his congregation were slain in the spirit. The whole church was lying on the floor and they didn't know what had happened. Ian Giller, an Australian with whom I went to school in the 60s at Avondale, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor and former Bible teacher at Avondale, he was dismissed from the ministry here in New York because he began holding healing services and spoke in tongues. He claims to have the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. No more than that. He believes that he has been given the prophetic office. In January of 1996, he and his wife went to Toronto for the second anniversary of the Toronto Blessing. And on his website, and you can read this in the, on the website, he says, "While we were traveling, the Lord told me he was going to reveal my prophetic calling publicly. At the Toronto meeting, the Lord fulfilled his word to me about the public disclosure of the prophetic gift he had given me. It happened in this way. After Dr. R.T. Kendall's powerful sermon, Dr. Paul Kane," I remember Paul Kane is one of the Kansas City prophets, "he stepped to the platform and began to speak words of public prophecy. Dr. Kane is a vindicated prophet of long standing, deeply respected by millions in the body of Christ. Ella," that's the wife of Ian Giller, "Ella and I were seated near the back of the auditorium in a crowd of about 2,500 people. Neither of us had registered in the conference, and Dr. Kane did not know us. Before that large audience, Dr. Kane called for me to stand, recounted our background in Arizona." He had been a church pastor in Arizona, a Seventh-day Adventist church pastor in Arizona. "He told me my age when I was first anointed by the Holy Spirit, prior to my fiery baptism in the Spirit, and he named Ella. He stated, 'Let nothing discourage you or deter you, because this is the true prophetic gifting that is upon you. You will be known as a prophet of the Lord.' At a meeting of over 1,000 evangelical and Pentecostal charismatic ministers and members in Rochester, New York, Ian Giller saw a Pentecostal minister washing the feet of a young Baptist pastor. He says, 'As the two men washed each other's feet, the Spirit of the Lord fell on me in the gallery up in the back of the church. He told me, this is a wedding, not a foot washing. Every wedding is made by a third party. You are the third party. As I took Pastor Sheets to England, so I have brought you to America to help make this marriage. Since early this century, the adversary has focused on keeping the spirit and the truth separate. These days are over. I am putting the spirit and the truth together in my church. The evangelicals with the gospel are to join with the charismatics in the spirit. I seek worshippers who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Go down and announce this marriage to this church, this city, and this nation. So Ian Giller went down in this meeting. He went up to the platform and he delivered the message as he feels God had given him. After delivering the message, he says, "As I walked off the platform, the Lord said, 'Get out of the church.' I walked straight out of the building into the night. While I was alone outside, the Lord spent 40 minutes giving me specific details about the role He wants to send the Adventist church and its leadership to play in the forthcoming marriage. That's when I said to Him, 'Lord, it ain't going to work. They'll never do it. They're too proud.' Then He said sharply, 'You mind your business and I'll mind mine. Do what I tell you.' In His mercy, the Lord has shown me what will happen if the church leaders fail Him in this momentous hour. The marriage will take place." Now, this is a Seventh-day Adventist minister, or now a former Seventh-day Adventist minister, who experienced this. In evaluating what is happening in many charismatic and also in some Seventh-day Adventist churches, we need to remember that while the Bible clearly affirms that in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people," it also emphatically states, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Jesus warns of false prophets. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Miracles are not necessarily a proof of God's power. Not everyone, pardon me, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Signs and wonders may be supernatural, but it does not mean that they are necessarily from God. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And Ellen White has warned that in the last days Satan will work miracles. The man who makes the working of miracles the test of his faith will find that Satan can, through a species of deception, perform wonders that will appear to be genuine miracles. The fact that this charismatic movement of signs and wonders is sweeping away denominational barriers and thereby promoting and accelerating the ecumenical idea among Christian churches should not surprise us. More than 100 years ago, Ellen White wrote, "When the leading churches of the United States, uniting upon such points of doctrine as are held by them in common, shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and to sustain their institutions, then Protestant America will have formed an image to the Roman hierarchy." Before they can influence the state, they must unite. And this is what we are seeing today taking place in the ecumenical movement. Long before the declaration, "Evangelicals and Catholics Together," which I mentioned this morning, the Christian Mission in the Third Millennium, and other declarations since then were signed, long before that, Ellen White said, and we read it this morning, "When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, When under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of paper falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan, and that the end is near. And that's where we are today. If the charismatic renewal over the last three decades is really the working of the Holy Spirit, we may well ask, why has the Holy Spirit not led them to a clearer understanding of biblical truths? Furthermore, if the current manifestations of signs and wonders in the Christian church is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as has been claimed, then we have somehow missed the counterfeit predicted in Scripture and in the spirit of prophecy. If, however, the current manifestations of signs and wonders is the counterfeit, then we are at the threshold of the greatest revival the Adventist Church has ever experienced, and the final events are not far off. Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." I have a tape at home, and I was thinking of bringing it, but then I thought, maybe not. Some people get upset about it. It's a service that is filmed with Kenneth Copeland and another charismatic preacher, where they speak in tongues, where you have the Toronto howling, the shouting and the laughing and the screaming. And at the end of this tape, it takes about 2 hours, at the end of this tape, he invites ministers up on the platform. And these are ministers, he says, who all have years of experience in public speaking. And then he invites them to give a testimony. And on that tape, these experienced ministers, who each one has preached many times, are suddenly struck dumb. They start speaking, and then they can't go on. And you can see their eyes begin to roll. Eventually they fall down. You can see there is another power, another force at work. It is, for some people, gruesome to watch it, because it is really, you experience the spirit that is there and is taking hold of these people. But Satan has all kinds of means, you see. But the interesting thing is that the preacher who invited them in, he says, "Now you can witness what God's power is doing. It is smiting these preachers dumb so they can no longer speak." So he interprets it as a manifestation of God's power that is manifested here. And you will find all kinds of things. In the South Pacific, when I was there, people who had come out of paganism, whose fathers were witch doctors, told me some of the stories, what they had experienced, what their people had experienced. Satan's power is real. It is active. Believe me, it is terrible when you experience it. I remember I was invited to speak at one of our colleges in Papua New Guinea, and when I got there, the president said to me, "Look, we are having a problem here. We have in the girls' dorm headless bodies appear to these girls at night." And so they were terrified. And so I inquired a little bit further, and we discussed it, and then I talked with the students. And one of the issues, and you have the same experience in Africa, that some of the young people bring their fetishes and their magic things into the school. And by doing it, they invite the spirits to come to where they are. And so one of the things we told them was that they should burn everything that they brought on charms and things like this from home to get rid of it. Otherwise, you cannot get rid of the presence of the evil if you hang on to some of the things that are connected with it. So Satan works very hard to deceive the people in some countries in a very open way. In other countries, like in Europe and in America, in a more devious manner, not so openly as in other countries. But however he works, he's deceiving millions of people. And that's why Jesus warned us, signs and wonders will happen that even the elect find danger of being deceived.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2006, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.